Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, said, "I always did something I was a little not ready to do. I think that's how you grow. There's this moment of, wow, I'm not really sure I can do this." And you push through those moments, and that's when you have a breakthrough. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tupper in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host and founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us in a few minutes. But for now, let's get the call started. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Terrence in Corinth, Texas.
Good morning, Terrence. Happy Memorial Day.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Dennis from Virginia.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Raindrops falling on your head.
Good morning, Mahara. Erica from Chicago.
Hey, Erica.
Good morning.
Woo-hoo. Who's that stepping out? Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Is that Amy?
It is.
Good morning, Amy. How are you this morning?
Doing so good. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you.
Hey, good morning, Mahara.
You guys press star 6 so we can cut out some of the background noise, okay? After you say your name.
Carrie from Arkansas.
Good morning. Welcome to the Thinking Grow Rich call.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Elise in Atlanta.
Hey, Elise. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Mahara. Wendy McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Wendy, is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Good morning. Welcome to the call, love.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara, Emmanuel.
What's happening in Dallas, Emmanuel?
Thank you. It's good. Cool weather. Cool weather. Cloudy.
I'm Mahara. Dennis from Virginia.
Hey, Dennis. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Charity from New York.
Hey, Charity. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Honest from Jacksonville.
Andre, I'm glad you're here, my man. Talk soon.
Good morning, Mahara. Bill Winch here, Rochester, New York.
Hey, Bill Winch. What's going on in Rochester?
Memorial Day. It's a great day for freedom.
It is a great day for freedom. I'm so glad you already know it.
Freedom.
Freedom.
It's Lori from Wenatchee, Washington.
Hey, Lori, good morning. We're glad you're here.
Thanks, good morning. Good morning, it's Angela in California.
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, great.
We're so glad you're with us.
Thanks.
Good morning, it's Kathy in beautiful Southeast Idaho.
Hey, Kathy Early, happy Memorial Day to you, love. Pat Simpson, you happiness engineer. Of course you would be on this call bright and early on a holiday morning. Welcome to the call, my friend. Star 6 so you can cut out the back. background noise, guys. We can hear your conversation.
Mahara, I don't know if you're not, it's really hard to hear you.
Hi, Mahara. This is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm good.
Super Stan, North Carolina. Good morning,
hey,
Mahara.
Hey, Super Duper Stan. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
The call.
Happy Memorial Day.
Hey, 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 happy Memorial Day. Todd Young, Baltimore, Maryland, practitioners.
Todd Young.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, everybody.
Pleasure to hear your voice.
Likewise, my friend, likewise.
Steve from PSO, Florida.
Good morning, Marion in Miami.
Hey, Marion, how are you this morning?
Todd, I'm going to call you. You should catch up.
Sounds good, buddy.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Hutchings, your host of the Think and Grow Rich Call, dialing in as I travel home from the gym this morning on this beautiful Memorial Day, May 25th, 2015. I'm excited to hear that even on Memorial Day, even on a holiday, we've got quite a few freedom fighters, freedom crusaders, entrepreneurs, building various businesses, stepping into freedom, building a vision, who made the decision to dial in this morning, and I'm grateful you did because I believe that we're all in for a very special treat today on this special edition of Memorial Day, Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Call. So thank you so much for being here. I'm glad you're here, and I'm also grateful, my friends. I'm grateful to have my freedom. You know, Memorial Day here in the United States of America is a day where we take pause to remember and think about all of the men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. This is a day where we remember those who have sacrificed their very lives, who have laid down their lives and allowed their blood to spill out in some cases right on the battlefield as the ultimate pledge to freedom, to give us the freedom of choice, the freedom of agency, the freedom we all enjoy to build a business today, to go for our dreams, to make choices, to do the things that we decide we want to do. And I think it's a great thing to honor this day and to honor those women who have made that sacrifice. So today is a little bit of a special call because we're going to take a pause in our reading and we're going to reflect a little bit on that sacrifice. And also, almost as important, if not more important, to reflect upon the reason why these great people decided to make that ultimate sacrifice, because there is a reason behind why they would do that, isn't there? And doesn't that reason have a lot to do with you and me and the blessings that we enjoy today, the blessings of freedom? So we're going to cover that a little bit today, and I'm excited you're here because I think that we can all have some shifts today. I think we can all be moved today. I think we can all today be more resolved to step forward and make even better use of the gift that has been delivered to us by our forebears, and I'm excited for that. So real quick, guys, I'm going to unmute the lines, and I want to know, on this Memorial Day, May 25th, 2015, are you excited to be alive? Are you grateful for freedom? Are you grateful for all of the great people who have laid down their lives so that you and I could have the privilege of picking up the phone this morning and dialing in together to mastermind on how we can enjoy more freedom in our lives? If you're excited about that, if you're grateful for that, I want to hear you guys scream into the phone on this Memorial Day, Freedom Remembrance Day, as I unmute the lines right now.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Freedom, my friend.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, listen, I appreciate that. I let the freedom roar go on a little bit longer this morning than normal because I believe this is a day that deserves that, and I wanted to hear the freedom ring this morning. So, guys, hey, if you'll give me just a moment, I just walked in my office. As I mentioned, I was driving home from the gym, and I want to dial in from my landline so that I have a better connection here this morning. So if you'll just give me 1 second, dialing in on my other phone right now, I'll be right back. Okay, guys, I'm back. Let me turn off my cell phone so we don't have that echo. As I mentioned, today's Memorial Day, so we're going to have a little bit of a different call today. We're going to forego the definite major purpose self-confidence formula, and we're going to jump right into some text that's outside the scope of our call a little bit. If you're new to the call and just happen to be dialing in on this day, this is a call that we've done now for almost 5 years, and we come together and we study the laws of success, chiefly laid down by Dr. Napoleon Hill, so that we can step forward into more financial freedom in our lives, and that's something we do every day. So please come back for that if this is your first call. But today we're gonna celebrate freedom a little bit, and we're gonna remember some of the people. Now, obviously, there is no way that we can make an exhaustive remembrance of all of the people who have sacrificed and laid down their lives and their time and their fortunes, and as we're going to read today, their sacred honor, right? Just put it all down on the line. There's no way we could go through every single person, but what I wanted to do this morning is go through just a few of the special moments in history and the special people in history that sort of, for me, do a great job of reaching down inside my soul and stirring up the feelings and the rememberings of freedom and the rememberings of why people have made the sacrifices that they did. Because isn't it true? You know, one of the things I like to think about on this day is I like to remember the people who have died, yes, and I also like to remember why they chose to make that sacrifice, because I believe that that is really what they would have us remember. I believe they would have us remember the reasons behind why they chose to do the things that they did, so that we can honor those reasons and so that we can fully unwrap the gift that we've been given. I believe that's one of the best ways, if not the best way, we can honor those who have gone before and delivered to us our freedom. It's really to live fully and unwrap the gift completely. So that's what we're going to do a little bit today. So I'm going to jump into a couple of different books. The first one I'm going to jump into is Think and Grow Rich, Dr. Napoleon Hill. He has a special few paragraphs in one of the chapters that kind of takes us back a little bit into the history behind the revolution of the United States of America and the revolution of freedom that began here. And so I'm going to jump right in this morning on page 132 of 235 in the ebook copy of Think and Grow Rich, and then I'm going to bounce around to a couple different texts. So Dr. Napoleon Hill writes, the Committee of Correspondence was organized. This is just prior to the Declaration of Independence. Observe that this movement provided way for increasing power of the mastermind by adding to it men from all colonies. Take notice that this procedure constituted the first organized planning of the disgruntled colonists. Then he says, in union there is strength. The citizens of the colonies had been waging disorganized warfare against the British soldiers through incidents similar to the Boston riot, but nothing of benefit had been accomplished. Their individual grievances had not been consolidated under one mastermind. No group of individuals had put their hearts, minds, souls, and bodies together in one definite decision to settle their difficulty with the British once and for all until Adams, Hancock, and Lee got together. Meanwhile, the British were not idle. They, too, were doing some planning and masterminding on their own account, with the advantage of having back of them money and organized soldiery. The Crown appointed Gage to supplant Hutchinson as the first governor of Massachusetts. One of the new governor's first acts was to send a messenger to call on Samuel Adams for the purpose of endeavoring to stop his opposition by fear. We can best understand the spirit of what happened by quoting the conversation between Colonel Fenton, the messenger sent by Gage, and Adams. Colonel Fenton, I have been authorized by Governor Gage to assure you, Mr. Adams, that the governor has been empowered to confer upon you such benefits as would be satisfactory. This was an endeavor to win Adams by promise of bribes. upon the condition that you engage to cease in your opposition to the measures of the government. It is the governor's advice to you, sir, not to incur the further displeasure of His Majesty. Your conduct has been such as makes you liable to penalties of Henry VIII, by which persons can be sent to England for trial by treason or misprison of treason at the discretion of a governor of a province. But by changing your political course, you will not only receive great personal advantages, but you will make your peace with the king. Samuel Adams had the choice of two decisions. He could cease his opposition and receive personal bribes, or he could continue and run the risk of being hanged. Clearly, the time had come when Adams was forced to reach instantly a decision which could have cost his life. The majority of men would have found it difficult to reach such a decision. The majority would have sent back an evasive reply, but not Adams. He insisted upon Colonel Fenton's word of honor that the colonel would deliver to the governor the answer exactly as Adams would give it to him. Adams' answer, quote, "Then you may tell Governor Gage that I trust I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings. No personal consideration shall induce me to abandon the righteous cause of my country. And tell Governor Gage it is the advice of Samuel Adams to him to no longer insult the feelings of an exasperated people. Comment as to the character of this man seems unnecessary. It must be obvious to all who read this astounding message that its sender possessed loyalty of the highest order. This is important. Racketeers and dishonest politicians have prostituted the honor for which such men as Adams died." When Governor Gage received Adams' caustic reply, he flew into a rage and issued a proclamation which read, "I do hereby in His Majesty's name offer and promise His most gracious pardon to all persons who shall forthwith lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects, excepting only from the benefit of such pardon, Samuel Adams and John Hancock, whose offenses are of too flagitious a nature to admit of any other consideration but that of condign punishment." Close quote. As one might say in modern slang, Adams and Hancock were on the spot. The threat of the irate governor forced the two men to reach another decision equally as dangerous. They hurriedly called a secret meeting of their staunchest followers. Here the mastermind began to take on momentum. After the meeting had been called to order, Adams locked the door, placed the key in his pocket, and informed all present that it was imperative that a Congress of the colonists be organized and that no man should leave the room until the decision for such a Congress had been reached. Great excitement followed. Some weighed the possible consequences of such radicalism, old man fear. Some expressed grave doubt as to the wisdom of so definite a decision in defiance of the crown. Locked in that room were two men, immune to fear, blind to the possibility of failure, Hancock and Adams. Through the influence of their minds, the others were induced to agree that through the Correspondence Committee, arrangements should be made for the meeting of the First Continental Congress to be held in Philadelphia, September 5th, 1774. Remember this date. It is more important than July 4th, 1776. If there had been no decision to hold a Continental Congress, there could have been no signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the first meeting of the new Congress, another leader in a different section of the country was deep in the throes of publishing a, quote, "summary view of the rights of British America," close quote. He was Thomas Jefferson of the province of Virginia, whose relationship to Lord Dunmore, representative of the crown in Virginia, was as strained as that of Hancock and Adams with their governor. Shortly after his famous Summary of Rights was published, Jefferson was informed that he was subject to prosecution for high treason against His Majesty's government. Inspired by the threat, one of Jefferson's colleagues, Patrick Henry, boldly spoke his mind, concluding his remarks with a sentence which shall forever remain a classic, quote, "If this be treason, then make the most of it," close quote. It was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, without money, sat in solemn consideration of the destiny of the colonies, beginning at the opening of the First Continental Congress and continuing at intervals for 2 years until June 7th, 1776, Richard Henry Lee arose, addressed the chair, and to the startled assembly made this motion. Gentlemen, I make the motion that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Lee's astounding motion was discussed fervently and at such length that he began to lose patience. Finally, after days of argument, he again took the floor and declared in a clear, firm voice, "Mr. President, we have discussed this issue for days. It is the only course for us to follow. Why then, sir, do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her arise, not to devastate and to conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and of law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny." Before his motion was finally voted upon, Lee was called back to Virginia because of serious family illness. But before leaving, he placed his cause in the hands of his friend, Thomas Jefferson, who promised to fight until favorable action was taken. Shortly thereafter, the president of the Congress, Hancock, appointed Jefferson as chairman of a committee to draw up a Declaration of Independence. Long and hard the committee labored on a document which would mean, when accepted by the Congress, that every man who signed it would be signing his own death warrant should the colonies lose in the fight with Great Britain, which was sure to follow. The document was drawn, and on June 28th, the original draft was read before the Congress. For several days, it was discussed, altered, and made ready. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson stood before the assembly and fearlessly read the most momentous decision ever placed upon paper. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have been connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused to assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. And I'm going to skip some of these, but obviously there's about another 15 lines of charges laid against King Henry in terms of what he was doing to take away and oppress the freedom of these revolutionaries, of these founding fathers and mothers of the United States of America, that caused them to want to declare their independence, to state their freedom to the world. And I'm going to jump down to the bottom of this document here. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in our attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, peace in friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 signatures on the declaration appear in the positions indicated. Button Gwinnett, Lyman Hall, George Walton, William Hooper, Joseph Hughes, John Penn, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Hayward Jr., Thomas Lynch Jr., Arthur Middleton, John Hancock, Samuel Chase, William Paca, Thomas Stone, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, George Wythe, Richard Henry Lee, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Harrison, Thomas Nelson Jr., Francis Lightfoot Lee, Carter Braxton, Robert Morris, Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, John Morton, George Clymer, James Smith, George Taylor, James Wilson, George Ross, Caesar Rodney, George Reed, Thomas McKean, William Floyd, Philip Livingston, Francis Lewis,
Lewis Morris, Richard Stockton, John Witherspoon, Francis Hopkinson, John Hart, Abraham Clark, Josiah Bartlett, William Whipple, Samuel Adams, John Adams, Robert Treat Payne, Elbridge Gerry, Stephen Hopkins, William Ellery, Roger Sherman, Samuel Huntington, William Williams, Oliver Wolcott, and Matthew Thornton. Long live their names. And my friends, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to jump over to a little bit of text from the book called John Adams. It was written by David McCullough, which gives us a little bit more insight into two of these men that were a big impetus into bringing this declaration about. You know, we just read that Thomas Jefferson was the pen, and I've read that originally there was some talk that the people wanted John Adams to actually write the Declaration of Independence, and John Adams insisted that Thomas Jefferson be the one. And so Thomas Jefferson was the one who penned the declaration that we just read, but it's also been said that Thomas Jefferson was the pen and John Adams was the voice, because after Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence, it was then up to John Adams to champion that document and be the voice of freedom and reason, to carry that document through the Congress, to persuade and induce all of the other members of the Continental Congress to go ahead and accept the document. It's been said that John Adams was the chief voice who caused that to happen. And so there's some fascinating text in this book by David McCullough, and I'm going to read just a few pieces to everyone because, again, I believe this gives us some fascinating insight into these voices and minds of freedom that have given us so much. We're some of many who gave us so much, right? So on page 642 in this book, John Adams, David McCullough writes, late in November, and this is like fast forward. So the Declaration was accepted, the Revolutionary War was fought, the colonies won their freedom and independence, and this is later on in life, towards the latter part, in fact, the very end of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson's life. Late in November, Adams submitted to one further ordeal for the, let me skip over here one page. With 1826 marking the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, it was not long into the new year when Adams and Jefferson were being asked to attend a variety of celebrations planned to commemorate the historic event on the 4th of July. Invitations poured into Quincy and Charlottesville from Washington, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. The two former presidents were, with 88-year-old Charles Carroll of Maryland, the last signers of the Declaration still alive. Further, as everyone knew, Jefferson was its author and Adams had been its chief advocate on the floor of Congress. One was the pen, the other the voice of independence, and the presence of either at any Independence Day celebration, large or small, would give it significance as nothing else could. But the time was past when either Adams or Jefferson could leave home. Adams was 90, Jefferson would be 83 in April, and each grew steadily more feeble. After calling on Adams that spring, Benjamin Waterhouse wrote to John Quincy, quote, to the eyes of a physician, your father appeared to me much nearer to the bottom of the hill, close quote. Still the old mind prevailed. The brave old heart hung on. As once he had been determined to drive a Declaration of Independence through Congress or to cross the Pyrenees in winter, so Adams was determined now to live to see one last 4th of July. In March, knowing he had little time left, Jefferson drew his last will, suffering from bouts of diarrhea and a chronic disorder of the urinary tract caused apparently by an enlargement of the prostate gland. He depended for relief on large doses of laudanum. Besides, he was beset by troubles at his university, disappointing enrollment, unruly students, and by now suffered such personal financial distress that, in desperation, he had agreed to a proposal that the Virginia legislature create a special lottery to save him from ruin. But then Jefferson, too, was resolved to hang on until the 4th. Jefferson's last letter to Adams, dated Monticello, March 25, 1826, was written at the desk in his office or cabinet where a recently acquired plaster copy of the Adams bust by Binion, a gift of a friend, looked on from a near shelf. He was writing to say that his grandson, Thomas Jefferson Randolph, was on his way to New England, and that if the young man did not see Adams, it would be as though they had seen nothing. On June 24th at Monticello, after considerable labor, Jefferson completed a letter to the mayor of Washington declining an invitation to the 4th of July celebration at Washington. It was his farewell public offering and one of his most eloquent, a tribute to the worthies of 1776 and the jubilee that was to take place in their honor. Within days, it was reprinted all over the country. Quote, "May it be to the world what I believe it will be, to some parts sooner, to others later, but finally to all, the signal of arousing men to burst the chains under which monkish ignorance and superstition had persuaded them to bind themselves and to assume the blessings and security of self-government. All eyes are opened or opening to the rights of man. The general spread of the light of science has already laid open to every view the palpable truth that the mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs, nor a favored few booted and spurred, ready to ride them legitimately by the grace of God. These are the grounds of hope for others, for ourselves. Let the annual day return to this day forever, refresh our recollections of these rites and an undiminished devotion to them." As he had often before and was considered perfectly acceptable, Jefferson had done some borrowing for effect. In this case, it was imagery from a famous speech of the 17th century by one of Cromwell's soldiers, Richard Rumbold, who from the scaffold, as he was about to be executed, declared, quote, "I never could believe that Providence had sent a few men into the world ready booted and spurred to ride, and millions ready, saddled, and bridled to be ridden," close quote. Adams attempted to write nothing so ambitious, and probably given his condition, it would have proved impossible for him. "The old man fell fast," the Reverend George Whitney recorded after another visit on June 27th. But when on Friday, June 30th, Whitney and a small delegation of town leaders made a formal call on Adams, he received them in his upstairs library seated in his favorite armchair. They had come, they told the old patriot, to ask for a toast that they might read aloud at Quincy's celebration on the 4th. Quote, "I will give you," Adams said, "independence forever," close quote. Asked if he would like to add something more, he replied, "Not a word." The day following July 1st, Adams was so weak he could barely speak. The family physician, Amos Holbrook, the ever-faithful Louisa Smith, and one or another of the family remained at his bedside around the clock. When a townsman and frequent visitor named John Marston called at the house on the afternoon of July 3rd, Adams was able to utter only a few words. "When I parted from him, he pressed my hand and said something which was inaudible," Marston wrote, "but his countenance expressed all that I could desire." Early on the morning of Tuesday, July 4th, as the first cannon of the day commenced firing in the distance, the Reverend George Whitney arrived at the house to find the old gentleman was drawing to his end. Dr. Holbrook was there and declared to us that he could not live more than through the day. Adams lay in bed with his eyes closed, breathing with great difficulty. Thomas sent off an urgent letter to John Quincy to say their father was sinking rapidly. As efforts were made to give Adams more comfort by changing his position, he awakened. Told that it was the 4th, he answered clearly, "It is a great day. It is a good day." At Monticello, Thomas Jefferson had been unconscious since the night of July 2nd, his daughter Martha, his physician Robley Dunglison, and others keeping watch. At about 7 o'clock, the evening of July 3rd, Jefferson awakened and uttered a declaration, quote, "This is the 4th, or this is the 4th of July," close quote. Told that it would be soon, he slept again. 2 hours later, at about 9, he was roused to give a dose of laudanum, which he refused, saying, "No, doctor, nothing more." Sometime near 4 in the morning, Jefferson spoke his last words, calling in the servants with a strong, clear voice, according to the account of his grandson, Thomas Jefferson Randolph, but which servants he called or what he said to them are unknown. Jefferson died at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon on July 4th as bells in Charlottesville could be faintly heard ringing in celebration at the valley below. At Quincy, the roar of cannon grew louder as the hours passed, and in mid-afternoon a thunderstorm struck, the artillery of heaven, as would be said, to be followed by a gentle rain. Adams lay peacefully, his mind clear by all signs. Then late in the afternoon, according to several who were present in the room, he stirred and whispered clearly enough to be understood, quote, Thomas Jefferson survives, close quote. Somewhat later, struggling for breath, he whispered to his granddaughter Susanna, help me, child, help me, then lapsed into a final silence. At about 6:20, his heart stopped. John Adams was dead. As those present would remember, ever after, there was a final clap of thunder that shook the house. The rain stopped and the last sun of the day broke through low-hanging clouds, bursting forth with uncommon splendor at the moment of his exit. With the sky beautiful and grand beyond description, John Marston would write to John Quincy, by nightfall the whole town knew. The news of Jefferson's death on July 4th had only reached Washington from Charlottesville on July 6th. Not until Sunday, July 9th, after receiving several urgent messages from home, did John Quincy start north by coach and accompanied by young John, and it was later that day near Baltimore that he learned of his father's death. That John Adams and Thomas Jefferson had died on the same day, and that it was, of all days, the 4th of July, could not be seen as a mere coincidence. It was a visible and palpable manifestation of divine favor, wrote John Quincy in his diary that night, expressing what was felt and would be said again and again everywhere the news spread. And so, my friends, that's what I wanted to share with everyone today. Those pieces of text, both by Napoleon Hill, the Declaration of Independence itself, and then this final story by John McCullough that he tells of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, really move me and stir my heart and help me remember the spirit and the reasoning behind why men and women throughout at least our recent history and past history would choose to lay down their lives and sacrifice what they held most dear, their very lives, to deliver to us the blessings and the gifts that we have today. And again, I just think it's fitting. I think it's important. I think it's a great tribute to their lives and their sacrifice to remember them and also the why behind why they did what they did. So I, for one, on this Memorial Day, my friends, am grateful. I am grateful for the great men and women all throughout history who have chose to live uncommon lives and who have chose to sacrifice and risk the things that they hold dear, their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, so that they could deliver to me and my family, my children, hopefully my children's children and their children's children, the blessing of freedom, the blessing of being able to make choices and to go forth and make of my life what I will to make of it. And I'm just grateful for that. I wanted to express that gratitude today on this call. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines, and maybe what we can do for the remainder of the call is express our thoughts, express our gratitude, express the feelings of our hearts for freedom and for the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are part of our call, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please.
Hey, Paul.
Start.
Yeah. Super Duper Stan.
Good.
All right. I heard a voice there right ahead of Super Duper Stan. Who was that?
That was John Blaise Chapman.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning, Super Duper Stan, and good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. It's I am grateful to be here. I'm actually standing out in my backyard right now. The morning air combined with those words of inspiration, of wisdom, of triumph, of victory just has me pumped up. You know, before I say anything else, if you're a serviceman or servicewoman on this call today, I just want to send you a personal shout-out. I and my family appreciate your service at the very bottom of my heart. So here's the bottom line. Right now, I think that more so than at any time in history, we have the opportunity to really change things. And obviously, we change things by changing ourselves, by changing the actions that we take, by changing the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we comport ourselves, by holding ourselves to a higher standard, by standing up for what's right. I truly feel that there is a that unfortunately in today's society, there's become an us versus them in regards to our government and some unruly elements, you know, out there trying to make trouble for all people. But it's really up to us on an individual basis to really demand of our legislatures that they actually abide by the same rules that we do, that we don't live in some type of a oligarchy where only a privileged few get to avail themselves of the resources of our society. It's up to us to take it upon ourselves to obtain the education and to really push forward and grow ourselves, to grow, do, have, give, and become more. That's just a little bit of the reasons why I'm grateful today. I'm grateful that I had a grandfather who in the Korean War was a paratrooper. The guy was crazy enough to go in and jump in the middle of a field of battle. I'm grateful to have military family members who go and put their lives on the line so that we can have and we can taste what we've come to know as freedom. Most of all, I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. So happy Memorial Day, folks. Back to you.
Beautiful words, John Blaze Chapman. Thank you so much, my friend. Super Duper Stan, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul, my brother from the other mother, and happy Memorial Day to everyone on the call. And before it slipped my head to say it because I'm so filled up this morning, my hat goes off, my heart goes out to all of those who serve in the military, and I truly mean that. I always do it whenever I see someone in the military. I always try to make sure I tell them, thank you so much for what you do for this country. And I mean that, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, I just have to say, man, that you have done an incredible job. My hat goes off to you. I appreciate all that you do. And, man, I'm so glad I didn't miss this call today because I had no idea that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson passed on the same day on July 4th, where they had given their life to fight for. I mean, that's just amazing to me. Freedom, Lord have mercy. I can't begin to tell everyone how freedom, the importance of freedom in all of our lives. And by all means, to John Blaze, who just preceded me, said some incredible words that I agree with so much. And it's so easy for us today, for a lot of people to sort of minimize the power of freedom and allow the politicians and whatever to pass all these laws and regulations and things that begin to cut out our freedom. You know, we have to stick together as a mass of people who are conscious of freedom. And freedom to me is the ultimate I'll put it this way, and this is my faith and my belief, outside of preparing myself for my eternal home, freedom is the next most important thing in our lives, to where we can do the things that's laid upon our mind and hearts to do. And I used to tell people when I was fighting for my freedom, financial freedom, I used to tell people how bad I just desired freedom, and I said that I desired freedom so bad that I would be willing to walk up to a grizzly bear, smack him upside the head, and try to get away. That's just how serious my desire for freedom is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say to all of you, have a super-duper Memorial Day, and let's not ever forget the purpose of why the folks who've died did what they did, and let us continue going with that same spirit. Have a super duper day, my brother Paul. I'll talk with you later, man.
Sure, love you. Sure, love you, super duper Stan. Great thoughts.
Kimberly in Florida.
All right, I heard Frank and Kimberly.
You can let Kimberly go first.
Okay. Hey, Kimberly. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. A family full of gentlemen and statesmen always let me go first when I come out with a man. It's pretty sweet. I just wanted to express my gratitude as well for this special day and an immense amount of gratitude for this Think and Grow Rich family. I can come here every day and let my every cell steep in the words of freedom and then be moved to action by my gratitude that develops, that wells up inside me for those who have paved the way that I can live in this manner. And I feel very grateful and privileged to be a standard bearer of sorts, to take these concepts to the world. I'm kind of acutely aware that this is a global family and that because of the sacrifices that my forebears made, I have the opportunity to live in such a way that I have very few obstacles that are not of my own making. And I'm really grateful for that. I often talk about my father's side of the family who came to the United States in 1918 as a part of that wave of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free, as they say. But today I'm also incredibly grateful to my mother's side of the family. I'm a daughter of the American Revolution on that side, and I have a long lineage of people who fought for freedom and passed down the ideology that everyone deserves. It is our birthright, everyone, our birthright to live in the way that we are inspired, to be able to connect with what we know to be our mission and calling in life, and then go forth and execute that as we understand it to be. And it's a privilege to, I guess I didn't stand a chance but to be a freedom crusader. I didn't stand a chance because all I see are possibilities. I'm so grateful this day, and I thank all those who have served in the armed forces and battled for the elimination of oppression in all its forms. And I leave you with these words in total gratitude today. Be blessed, family.
Beautiful words, Kimberly. So grateful for you. Frank, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Paul. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on. And thank you, Tiger family, for being my family. And I really appreciate all of you out there. It's really nice to have John Blaze Chapman here today and Todd. Really happy to hear from all of you and all the brothers and sisters that come out every day and talk to us. I really wanted to, the reading was so fantastic this morning because it gave you a window into the past on how we won our freedom and how we can tell by looking at the circumstances that divine providence definitely was involved in that. It's actually what all of us are fighting to do, to have a relationship with our source. Like I said, you know, we're not political here. We don't know each other's political identities. We don't know if a person is conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat. We go beyond that because we're fighting for a bigger future. It's going to be universal, where we're going to find universal love, and that's what we're fighting for. And we could see from the time of the founding fathers how society has progressed to the United States today. Now there are still forces at work to try to control people's thinking and to try to change that thinking to a more political bent, but it's too late for those people. It's too late because the freedom, people have started to learn it all over the world, and that eventually we're going to be a part of the whole world being made over because we're actually pursuing our source that is the foundation of everything. Divine providence, we show divine providence all the time, and we have examples of people that have changed their thinking and have become successful right on this phone call. On this phone call, we have hundreds of people who have adopted this philosophy, and they have changed their worlds, and they have co-created their lives. So it's a great thing that our founding fathers fought for. It gave us the freedom of thought, the freedom of thinking that we need today to live this philosophy and to be successful in life, not only in money, but successful in our attitudes, in our relationships, in those things. Those are the other things that make us rich. So Think and Grow Rich, thank you for this philosophy, Napoleon Hill, and thank you, Tiger Family, for being here for us every day. And it just makes me a little emotional. Thank you for all the soldiers that fight for us every day. When you see a soldier walking around in an airport or anything like that, shake their hand and tell them that how much you appreciate them. And I know that they appreciate it as well. So thank you very much, Tiger Family, and back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Frank. Great thoughts. Appreciate you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Oh, it's Rick.
Who, was that Rick?
Yeah, it's Rick. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear you too. Hey, listen, I wanted to throw my two cents in and say thanks to all the military people, the people who gave that sacrifice, and I always do go up to them, and when I know that they're served the country, and tell them thanks too. And one thing that comes to mind, one particular person that impressed me and I thought was a real hero after 9/11 was a guy named Pat Tillman. He was playing for the Arizona Cardinals, and he had a good promising pro career, was really up and coming at the height of his career, and he turned it down, quit the NFL, and signed up and went to serve his country, and I think he was killed within the first couple of years after signing up. So there are a lot of bright people like him. That was just one example, and that I've never forgotten that. And so he was just one example of all the bright people that make that ultimate sacrifice. So I just wanted to point him out and say thanks to everyone that served, and give it back to you.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
It's Jesse from New York.
Hey, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning. What a wonderful call. And I thank you so much for bringing this as the major point for the call today. It's so important that we remember why we have this day to celebrate and how deeply I love this country and grateful for my freedom, grateful for this call, that I can have this call whenever I decide I like to pick it up and listen, which is every day. And for the men, and I do get terribly emotional for those wonderful men and women in the military that are sacrificing every day for our freedom, and my heart goes out to them. My love for them is beyond belief. I just well up with so much emotion because it is sad to know that there are people in this country that do not appreciate what this country represents, the freedom that they have, and for the military and what they do for each and every one of us. And my mother wasn't born in this country, and neither was I. And I was very young. I was only 11 months when I came here. And I was proud and glad to receive my citizenship. And I think there's a big difference when you come from a family who comes to this country and is so loving and grateful that you become such a patriot. And I grew up in that environment at home, and I would tear up every time I would see, I would sing the Star Spangled Banner, or, you know, our our national anthem because it meant so much to me and her, and it is just something that is so extremely special. So thanks for making it such a special day. It just kind of makes the rest of the day truly a significant one, and I'm grateful for you and our family where we can share like this. Thank you so much, Paul.
Grateful for you, Jesse, and appreciate those thoughts. Again? Star 6, we have 6 minutes. Larry, go ahead. Quick on the drive.
Pass Simpson. Pass Simpson.
Okay, we got Larry and then Pass. Go ahead, Larry. Larry, you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had gotten a muted message, so I remuted myself. Anyways, I wanted to thank Jesse for that last comment about not having been born here and coming here and how much she appreciates the freedoms that she has and the way that she grew up and what she appreciates, because I'm afraid that so many people in our country have lost sight of what she has gained. And I have personally many, many friends who gave their lives in service as I served beside them and know how important it is. And I was thinking as you were reading today, Paul, how wonderful would be if we could read that same sections of those two books to every graduating class as they leave high school or college. And as they step into the world for the beginning of the rest of their lives, that they would take that message to heart about what people gave of themselves to have the freedoms that we have and the ability to go to college, to go to high school, to live in this great country. What a blessing that would be to each of those as they pondered those words that have been so well captured by Napoleon Hill and John McCullough. So thank you very much for reading this, and let's just try to be inspirations to those children and those young adults around us to help them really truly appreciate what we have in this country. Thank you, Paul.
Absolutely. Great thoughts, Larry. Pass. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Jake and Grovis family. Paul, how are you on this Memorial Day, brother?
Dude, fantastic. How you doing, man?
I'm always blessed and highly favored. Oh, man. First of all, I want to say thank you for hosting the call on this Memorial Day. Most people run away from commitment during holidays, but I'm glad that, you know, we can always count on our trustee, Paul Hutchings. And I just wanted to say, you know, Memorial Day, the first root of that word is memory. You know, we can choose to remember whatever we like. Someone died and gave up their life for our freedom to choose to think positively. So don't worry about those who may not be celebrating the death or the fighting that had went on for our freedom, or don't worry about those who may not see life the way you see it. Make sure that you surround yourself with people who celebrate your current way of thinking. Because you can remember anything. I've been blessed that as I grew older, I still have some of my childhood friends around, and some of them are even on the call, like New Child Kirkland. So I can remember some of the great times we had as children. Even though we had some challenges, we get to choose what we can remember. Those challenges don't have to be bad thoughts in our heads. They can be motivations for our heart. So when you wake up and you start pushing, make sure that you choose what you want to remember, and you choose how it feels in your heart. I love you guys. Have a great Memorial Day.
Love it. Thank you, Pat, for that. Star 6, we have 2 minutes left.
Hey, Paul, it's Josh.
Josh, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Paul, I actually read that John Adams book a couple of years ago, right before the 4th of July, and it really did make a huge impact on myself. And I think what I want to I want to give a message, I guess, to our group today, that the biggest thing, you know, I'm not like this conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but, you know, more and more I think our freedoms are being taken away from us. And people, you know, some people are noticing and some people don't notice and some people ignore it and some people, you know, just choose not to do anything about it. And I think, you know, those of us that are truly, you know, who truly appreciate what those guys did for us, can show our appreciation by standing up and doing whatever you can to keep the freedoms that we have, because what they did was a lot harder than what we have to do. It's so much easier to keep your freedom that you already have than it is to try to gain freedom that you don't have. So that's my message for everybody today. Each and every one of us, you know, each of us has the power to do that. So back to you, Paul.
Hey, Josh, I appreciate that final comment there because it's important, and I believe you're right. And I just kind of wanted to illustrate maybe as we close out this call a couple of ways that we can do that. You know, Jim Rohn used to talk about how kids need to be educated as to their faith. They need to be educated as to their morals and ideals, and they need to be educated so that they can defend and fight for the morals and ideals that are going to preserve, you know, the goodness of life. And without the understanding behind those morals and ideals, it's impossible to defend them, and then it becomes very easy to fall into philosophies that maybe are not so desirable or not as good. And then I remember reading Mortimer Adler, you know, who wrote How to Read a Book, that was recommended to me by Jim Rohn in one of his audios. And in Mortimer Adler's opinion, one of the best ways that we can preserve freedom, that we can preserve our independence, that we can preserve good government is to educate ourselves as to the principles that stand behind the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all of the ideals and thought processes that went into the Founding Fathers that caused them to believe that the rights of man are unalienable and that were given to us by our Creator. And what are those rights? We have to become educated, my friends, and that's one of the reasons that I love being a freedom crusader in the home business profession, because it allows me to focus on things I can control, expand my circle of influence, and encourage the people around me to do the things that really matter as a first step. What are the things that really matter? A, become educated. You know, what do we do in the home business profession? We teach people to read. We teach people to read every day, to open their minds, and hopefully as that fire is ignited inside for knowledge and principle and truth, that desire to just find out what's right, to find out what's good, to find out what laws can that you know we can follow that are universal and immutable, right? Hopefully though that spark ignites into a flame that causes them to continue to search so that they'll be led to the discovering of these ideas and be able to better defend them when they do maybe make a decision to go out there and speak and stand for the preservation of our freedom. So what we do in the home business profession, teaching people to read, teaching people to listen to audios, teaching people to think, to expand their minds, to not just be a sheep, not just be someone who just doesn't think, right? We challenge people to think, to grow ourselves, to become better, and I believe that is a great first step. A great second step is to win our own financial freedom, to win our own financial freedom. It's hard to teach people about freedom when you're drowning in water, struggling and fighting for your own freedom. And again, like Josh said, you know, conspiracy theories here and there, you know, who knows if it's by design that most people are so tied and handcuffed to just making a living that they can't hardly even stand to think about picking up a book and putting a new idea in their brain. I don't know if that's by design, but it certainly seems to be the case, doesn't it? That so many people are so concerned about getting enough money to buy the next car, to make the mortgage payment, or you know, to pay whatever bill they need to pay, that they don't have time to pick up a book and read and think the great thoughts. Well, what we're doing in the home business profession is not only we're exhorting people to change that process and put great ideas into their potential drowningness that seems to be happening to so many people so that they can breathe, so that they can lift their head above water and look around and see maybe what's really happening, and also so that they can be in a position of influence. They maybe have now a little bit of money. They maybe now have a little bit of communication skills, a little bit of persuasion skills, so that when they do go to rise and fight for freedom in other ways, they'll be much more equipped than they would had they not been a part of our influence. So being a freedom crusader in the home business profession for me is much more about money. It's much more than a lot of these surface things that we think maybe it's about. And hopefully, my friends, today there's been a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of an aha moment as to how much power there is behind what we're doing as we continue to fight for our own personal freedom. I love you guys. I think you're special. I think you're truly amazing to be here on this call. And I'm grateful that I'm not a lone voice out in the wilderness, right? Isn't it nice to know that we have hundreds of other people that care about this stuff, that care about freedom, that care about the ideas that went into the founding of, you know, the freedoms that have been given to us, that care about entrepreneurship, that care about personal growth, that care about expanding their minds. I think that's a beautiful thing, and we are a nucleus of people that can move forward, I believe, and maybe make some positive changes. You know, I'll finish with this last quote. One of my favorite quotes says, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, concerned citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." That's by Margaret Mead. So thank you guys for being a part of a small group of thoughtful, concerned citizens. Enjoy your Memorial Day, and we will see you guys all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Philadelphia Freedom, where we were born.
Love you guys. Love you, Super Duper Stan.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate my brother Paul.
Appreciate everyone.
Love you, Paul. You're awesome.
Hey, you're awesome, too.
Have a
love
good
you,
day, Paul.
So
happy
grateful
one,
for you guys in this call.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.